Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Today we'll be continuing our series in the book of 2 Peter. And we're going to be working out of chapter 2, verse 1. It reads, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction." So today we're going to shed light on false teachers. This is an important topic that is consistent throughout the whole Bible. 2 Peter chapter 2 is mainly focused on this subject, and there is a lot to unpack here in this chapter. So this will be like sermon 1 of 2 that pertains to this topic. Now, moving forward, believers, we are warned to be mindful of these types of people. The Bible will refer to them as false shepherds, false prophets, unfaithful ministers, corrupt priests, clouds without water. They all fall under the category of false teachers. And Peter is writing to us to be aware of them. So let's see what the Apostle Peter has to say. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 through 11. "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down into hell, and deliver them into the chains of darkness to reserve for the judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example of those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord." 3 points of application arise out of our sermon text. First, there will be false teachers among you. Second, they will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. And third, they will bring on themselves swift destruction. First, there will be false teachers among you. You know, for centuries, Satan has done whatever he could to prevent the gospel message from going out. But luckily for us, we have a sovereign God. He is in control. And Satan has failed many times, but Satan will do his best to contain the gospel. Satan will use tactics as persecution and even death. He does these from outside the church. But Satan, he doesn't stop there. He works from inside the church as well. He tries to distort the gospel message from inside the church. You know, this is where Satan uses different tactics, such as false teachings, doctrines with slight perversions. This is where he's trying to sow tares among the wheat. This is where his agents, false teachers, come into play. Because Satan's main goal is to drive us away from Christ. He doesn't want any of us receiving Christ. And the next thing, if he can't do that, his next goal is to produce false Christians. Satan is the ultimate counterfeiter. You know, everything he does is like the Most High. Everything he sets up, like false teachings, religion, is set up to resemble a Christianity, but slightly different. It rejects the Messiah. It rejects Jesus. Let me take you to a passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 13 through 15, it reads, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." You know, wouldn't it be great to see, you know, signs on false teachers, beware of false teacher? But that's not the case. You know, Jesus said that we will know them by their works, not by their appearance. In Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20, read, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from the thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Therefore, by their fruits we will know them." So again, by their mere appearance, you will not be able to spot out a false teacher, just like you cannot spot out a murderer or a sexual predator. You know, there are people outside right now in ties and suits preaching a different salvation message that is not in the Bible. So don't go trusting someone just by their mere appearance. But you can spot out a false teacher by their fruit. You know, what are they saying? Is it based on Scripture? What are they doing? What kind of example are they demonstrating? So friends, be watchful. I would urge you, if you encounter someone who is trying to mislead you with a false doctrine, don't back down. You know, try your best to win them over. Open their eyes, since they are trying to close yours. Point them to Scripture. That's always the best thing to do. It's not my words, it's His words. Point them to the Scripture. And if that don't work, then you move on. You know, there was one of many cases when Jesus called out the Pharisees, and he called them hypocrites for not making God's word sacred by making the commandments of God to no effect by their traditions. You know, Jesus quoted a scripture verse from Isaiah. He said, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So the Pharisees at this point, they got offended by Jesus' words. And Jesus said in Matthew 15:11, he says, "It's not what goes out, not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man." And then he also continued to say, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." You know, the Apostle Paul had occasions where he dealt with falsehoods and doctrines that weren't lined up with Scripture as well. And his advice was to avoid divisive people. He says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." So the main objective, folks, is to win people over to Christ. Save souls, not to win an argument. Sadly, there will always be false teachings. There will always be false doctrines as long as the devil has authority. The next point of application is that they will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. You know, the definition of a heresy is a belief or action at odds with what is accepted, especially when a behavior is contrary to a religious doctrine or a belief. For example, a heresy would be a Catholic who says that God does not exist. That's a heresy. Well, people get exposed to heresies in churches throughout this country all the time. You know, this happened to me when a friend of mine who helped lead me to Christ years ago, he moved out of state and he started going to another church. And this church promoted a type of Christian universalism, a false doctrine that states that every human soul will be reconciled to God because of Jesus' work. So basically, the thought process is, if you believe or if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven. This is false doctrine. Because faith is an indispensable part of our relationship with God. You gotta have faith. Hebrews 11:6 reads, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Universalists also don't believe in a literal hell either. But Jesus said in Matthew 13:41-42, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth." So I debated my friend to no avail. You know, we kept throwing scripture verses at each other, and I felt like I was debating a Jehovah's Witness here. And in the end, we didn't come to an agreement. And I really haven't stayed in touch either. But the truth of the matter, it's found right in our text. Denying the Lord who bought them. That's the common theme that you see with false teachers, false doctrines. They deny the Lord who bought them. They deny his deity. They deny his work. They deny what is written in the book. Truth. Deny, deny, deny. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 10:33, but whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. But Romans 10:13 reads, but whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if there is any here without Christ or listening to this message, I urge you to place your faith and trust in Jesus. Do it before it's too late. We only have this lifetime to make a decision for Jesus. When we're dead, it's too late. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 reads, for I delivered to you first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Key words are according to the scriptures, the living word of God. So friends, be aware of what you're reading or who you're listening to when you look for answers outside the Bible. Jesus said that many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. False teachers, they can lead you astray, just as they did my friend. You know, there is a lot of Christian fiction coming out of the pulpits. False doctrines such as that you could lose your salvation. But Jesus said in John 10:28, and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. There are false doctrines out there that state that Jesus didn't cover all your sins. So you're going to have to spend some time in purgatory. An imaginary place not found in the Bible. But Jesus covers your sins, past, present, and future. He is the propitiation for our sin, period. And as I stated in my last sermon, the Bible does not contradict itself. Let me take you to a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. It reads, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly awaiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that sound like he doesn't come or cover all your sins? He says that so that you come short in no gift. He will confirm you till the end, that you will be blameless. Sounds like he covers all our sins. The bottom line is that nothing God has promised will get revoked. You know, everything Jesus said, it will come to pass. There are other false teachings such as good people, good works, good deeds will gain your salvation. That's not taught in the Bible. But it's being taught today. Faith alone in Christ alone. So be aware of these people who bring in destructive heresies that deny the Lord who bought them. The third application is they will bring on themselves swift destruction. So you may be thinking, well, why do churches that promote false doctrine, why are they so successful? You know, there's a church in Houston, Texas right now that draws thousands every week, filling up an old basketball stadium. And they're receiving false doctrine. They're receiving something that's not the gospel message. Where is the swift destruction? Well, for God, time is different. 2 Peter 3:8 reads, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And two, there will be a future for the wicked." And Peter provides examples of God's divine judgment, that there will be doom for the wicked. In our reading, it states that God did not spare the angels, but cast them into hell. He didn't spare the ancient world. His judgment came in the form of a worldwide flood. But he did spare Noah, one of 8 people. He didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah. So God's permissive will, he does allow these falsehoods to happen. But they're in a form of a test to those who truly love and follow God. Let me take you to a passage, Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 4. It reads, "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the God, to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him." You know, these verses remind me of people that confess, Jesus as Lord, God, and Savior, yet they'll go to a psychic medium to talk to their dead loved ones. Is that holding fast to God? Is that serving only him? Remember, God is patient, not only with false teachers, but with all sinners. Otherwise, none of us would be here. None of us. We've all failed many of God's tests. But 2 Peter 3:9 reads, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." See, one thing we can do, just like Jesus did, is to call out the false teachers. Make them aware, because it's an act of love. Ephesians 4 reads that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Making a person aware of their addictions is an act of love. And a greater act of love is helping one get off that destructive path. Proverbs 19:12 reads, "The king's wrath is like a roaring lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass." So friends, always be aware of false teachers. Do your best to correct them. The central message for every pulpit is to preach Jesus. Preach the word. False teachers, they usually add something to it. You know, something to Jesus to allure the flesh. And that's wrong. It's like marrying someone for their money. You know, that's not true love. But what is an act of love? The greatest act of love is what Jesus did on the cross for our souls. Stay true to your faith, friends. Stay true to Christ and Christ alone. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, you know, we live in a world where we have access to all these teachings through the internet, through videos. Father, I pray that we stay grounded in the book, grounded in your word. Because these teachers out there, they can be deceptive. Their words can be cunning and they can tickle our ears. But your word, it cuts to the heart. It may prick our conscience. It draws us closer to you, draws us in. Your word keeps us tethered to you. Father, I pray that this message helps those that try to find understanding outside your word. There are many Bible-believing churches out there, yes. But again, the devil is very crafty. I pray, Father, for your strength. I pray that your spirit continues to unlock the mysteries of your word. Gives us a greater understanding of who you are and what you want from your children. I pray, Father, that these words, that this message hits to the heart of the hearer. That we are to stay firm on the foundation based through your Son, Jesus, our Lord, our God, and our Savior. Thank you, Father, for all that you do and the blessings you continue to bestow upon us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.